So I do have Elle Flanders on the line from New York, and she is the director of Zero Degrees of Separation, which is playing at the Doxa Film and Video Festival. It starts tomorrow, and Elle, thanks for talking to us today. Hello, are you there? Elle, can you hear me? Hello, are you there? Okay, let me try to get... So we do believe we have Elle Flanders on the line. Elle, can you hear me?
I can.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. From New York. And you've made this documentary called Zero Degrees of Separation, which is playing here at the Vancouver Doxa Documentary and Film Video Festival. So it's about Israel and Palestine. You went there and documented some work around a lesbian couple and a gay couple living in the territories.
No, they actually, one lives in Jerusalem and the other couple lives in Tel Aviv. But one of the partners was from Ramallah.
Yeah, that's right.
So they were having difficulties living together. It's really very much a film about the occupation, first and foremost.
Right. Now, how come you chose to tell stories of a lesbian and a gay couple?
Well, I used to, you know, I wanted to tell a story that was very much about people from within my community. That
right.
was the first, you know, I felt like, you know, we tell stories all the time of people from various communities that relate to us in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just really interested in sort of how my community was dealing with the occupation, and was there any difference in their lives? Did it affect them differently? So that was really one of the impetuses behind that. And I also want to make a film about people who are very much on the margins of the margins.
Mm-hmm.
They have a different way of understanding occupation, which I believe that they did, which isn't to say that I don't think a straight couple would have you know, difficult, had a very hard time with the occupation as well, considering their, if they had a similar relationship. But I just felt like, you know, that we had the ability to sort of look into the face of oppression from a very particular vantage point.
Right.
So that's why I chose these particular couples.
Mm-hmm. Now, you grew up in Israel, and you decided to go back to follow these stories of these two couples and their issues of living together and trying to live with the fact that they didn't have status, at least Salim doesn't have status, and he's trying to stay in Jerusalem, but hide in a very hiding way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, how, you know, to escape from the authorities, to be caught, also, you know, traveling back and forth. And it's very interesting, and it really shows the occupation in its ways, and the fact that you have to have ID cards, and the fact that half of the family gets an ID card and the other half of the family does not get an ID card.
Right.
How does that work?
Well, I think the the bureaucracy of the occupation is mind-boggling, and
mm-hmm.
I think that we've used the tagline every once in a while for my film. Ezra says in the film, who's the Israeli half of the partnership, you know, he, at one point, he says very clearly in the film, he says, even George Orwell couldn't have imagined this.
Right.
And I think that occupation has become an Orwellian nightmare for
mm-hmm.
Palestinians. And whether it's checkpoints or fences or walls or basically just going from, you know, one half of your family to the other half of your family. Sometimes people live very much like us. I mean, can you imagine if half your family lived in, I don't know, Victoria, and you couldn't get on the ferry to see them because that would mean crossing a border and you didn't have a permit to get to Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just such a, and it's even closer than that. I mean, you know, it's, you know, it would be like going to, I don't know, Richmond, or, you know, it's just, you would have, you know, trouble getting 20 minutes away from where you live now, and even though half your family may live there. So I think the modern injustices of the occupation are really glaring, and I think that the film, in a very quiet way, traces those injustices through the lives of these two particular couples.
Right. Well, I mean, there's many documentaries been made about Israel and the occupation and walls and so on, but you chose a very different story, two different stories to tell, how poignant they are. And I think it's very effective because you describe how families have been separated by the occupation, whether some have, I know, a status and others don't, or have ID cards, and the fact that even couples, straight or gay, are separated because one might be Arab, the other might be Israeli,
mm-hmm.
and they can't live together in that kind of system, or you know, not legally, or at least with difficulty.
Right. I mean, I think that to me, you know, somebody once described my film as the quietest film they had ever seen about, you know, the conflict in Israel and Palestine. And, you know, what I do is I take the archival footage that belonged to my grandparents.
Right.
When they were, you know, they had made many visits back and forth to Palestine, and my grandfather was very involved in the beginnings of the State of Israel. And they shot this incredible footage over a 30-year period. And the stuff that I use mostly in the film traces this one particular tour that they took, that was supposed to introduce Jews to the Holy Land, to either invest in the Holy Land or think about moving to the Holy Land, or, you know, to show them the glories of the Holy Land. It was in 1950. And so there's this very kind of upbeat, kind of optimistic tour that my grandparents are taking, and I decided to parallel that with the story of what some of the results of that tour were, essentially, which leads us to modern-day occupation. And so the results of, you know, their being in Israel, of the beginnings of the State of Israel, were exactly the results of the displacement of another people, which has translated into, over the years, the impossibility and the bureaucratic nightmare and the very daily living and dying nightmare of a people under occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I wanted to just reveal this sort of through the use of both those two parallel tours. And so I wanted to find another way to talk about occupation that perhaps hadn't yet been done, and another way of leading you into the lives of what does that mean very intricately. You know, how do you live your daily life with, you know, such a system?
Right.
And what are our responsibilities?
Right.
Certainly for myself as a Jew in this world,
mm-hmm.
And I like to talk to other Jews who a lot of the time, sadly, don't want to hear about this and don't want to deal with it. And it's not just about an argument, and it's not about a 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is an occupation. What are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same question I guess I would pose to white people in Canada with the annihilation of an Aboriginal community.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Right.
Are you
going to
stay and pretend that it's not happening and stick your fingers in your ears, or are you going to stand up and say there is a lack of justice?
Actually, that's a really good analogy, Elle. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think that that kind of comes in the film in a sense that, you know, that these Jewish people who didn't have a homeland, didn't have a place to go to, and to find a homeland in the state of Israel, and find all the things that they were missing and so on, and then find that things have turned around, that you know, same things that's been done to them, they're doing to others.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly to, you know, those immigrants who came to Canada, you know, came here to find sanctuary or for various reasons, whether they come from Europe or Asia or Africa or other places, the Caribbean, and so on. And you find that the same thing's happening here with Aboriginal people, mm-hmm. that these people have been displaced and pushed out of their own homelands. And it's the same story in Palestine, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, for me, those parallels are really important, because I think we're not just, I think sometimes we make the mistake
mm-hmm.
of looking at this as an isolated incident, or, you know, I think Jewish community members often feel, why are we being targeted? And, you know, I don't think it's just about targeting a Jewish community and the Jewish people. I think in this particular instance, I think a Jewish community needs to stand up and say, you know, we will not accept this anymore. You will not do this in our name. We will, but it has to be part of a larger understanding of what's happening, you know, with the displacement of people as a result of occupation.
Well, this the story is sad. I mean, I don't see any hope in your documentary, because things actually get perpetually worse. They're
mm-hmm.
not getting better, you know. People are separated, and they can't meet, you know, and the fact that, you know, the lesbian couple, they're activists, and they're giving up hope. Is there hope? Is there a light somewhere?
You know, I guess what I usually say, and this question has come before, obviously, because I think that the end of the documentary isn't, you know, oh, well, if we have a group of people who can come together, and, you know, it's not the Oprah show.
No.
You know, I think we're dealing with very real situations, and we're dealing with a situation in which, I think, if you just look at the news about Gaza today,
mm-hmm.
you know, occupation engenders. I look at Iraq. I mean, I don't think we need to look that far afield to understand, you know, what occupation does to a people. And I think that it's decimated a population, both internationally and within the state of Palestine, or lack of state of Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that most of the characters in my film feel very strongly that things are going to get worse before they get better. And I think now we're seeing the worst. So, you know, will things get better eventually? I guess my work is to do the daily task that will help that occur. And so whether it's about making films, whether that's about, you know, calling for a general boycott, whether that's about, you know, creating an international movement, whatever it may be that we can do to better that situation. So if we want to talk about hope, I think we have to talk about it in the context of what can we each individually do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hope. I hope that people will take action and work to create change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and take it as a responsibility, as opposed to, you know, oh, you know, do we have hope? You know, I think we have to create a situation of hope.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it's a global issue with displacement, and this issue is this not going away, and that we are in a regime of war, you know, abroad and at home and so on. So I think this is an important issue. So why 0 degrees of separation? Mm-hmm. What is the significance of the title?
The significance of the title is several fold, but I mean the one layer of it would be that, you know, Ezra and his partner only live several kilometers apart.
Right.
Or come from several, but in fact, you know, there's no separation because of the occupation between them, that there's a wall between them on the one hand, you know, but on the other hand, there is so little distance between them. That's one layer. But the other layer is because when I started making the film, the way I started to sort of become interested in that particular couple, and Ezra and Salim, was I didn't set out to make a film about gay couples and the occupation, and in fact probably about Israel and Palestine at all.
Mm.
But I received this footage from my grandparents, and after they had died, it was sent to me. And I started looking through it, and I thought, you know, I mean, it was just such stunning, incredible footage, and spoke so much to the politics of today, and I felt like I wanted to do something with it. And then somebody simultaneously sent me a story about Ezra and his partner, Salim, and I didn't see a natural fit between these things, but I thought that perhaps there was a way that I could help Ezra and Salim just by hooking them up with some kind of a human rights group, or, you know, just by, you know, nothing to do with filmmaking. And when I called Ezra, he said to me, what did you say your name was? I said, Flanders. And he said, you're from Canada, right? And I said, correct. And he said, weren't you the granddaughter of the Morrisons? And I said, yes, but how would you know that? I mean, I'm Flanders, they're Morrison. He said, didn't you live in Jerusalem in 1978? And at this point, I already thought I was talking to the Israel Secret Service. I'm like, who are you? And he said, I remember when you moved to Israel in 1978, you were a young girl, and you lived in your grandparents' home in Jerusalem until you found your own apartment. And he said, you and your family, he said, I was your grandmother's gardener.
Ah, that's the gardener connection.
That's the gardener connection.
Ah.
So Ezra, who's now a plumber, was my grandparents' gardener in Jerusalem. And so when I found that out, I was just like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, I really congratulate you. It's a well-made film.
Thank
I think you made the connections very well. It's a very heart-wrenching story. I do recommend people to see it. It's playing Thursday at the Vancouver International Film Center at the Doxa Film Festival. You're going to be there, are you? You're attending, right?
I unfortunately am not attending. We couldn't get the funding to bring me out there, and I would love to be there more than anything. Sadly, I know it's a great festival, and I have so
it's
much
a great
to
film.
Say. So, but I'm hoping that they'll have a great conversation.
Well, yeah, I hope so, too. Has it been shown in other places, too?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It's been traveling for a year and a half. So we started off in Berlin at the Berlin International Film Festival in February over a year ago. So this is sort of coming to its festival. You know, it's still touring a fair bit. It'll be, I think it's actually going to be in Argentina, and it's got a few more places to go. And then eventually it will slow down. So hopefully so will I.
Well, thank you for making the film. I think it's a wonderful story. People should definitely see it. And it's good that Doxa has picked it up so we get to see it here in Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that they have. And I hope people go out and see it, because it was just such an extraordinary journey for me, and I think that it will be for other people as well.
Right. Well, thanks for talking to us from New York. I know it's about 10 o'clock over there.
Yeah, it is. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now. And that's Elle Flanders, and she's talking to us from New York about her film 0 Degrees of Separation is playing at the Doxa Film Festival, which opens tomorrow. And It's an amazing program. You can just go on the website and check that out. I think you can just Google. I couldn't find the website on there. I just did Google it. But yeah, some amazing stories, including the closing program is called Escape to Canada on Sunday night at the Granville Cinemas. So Docs has done quite well that way. And I think it's relevant to the Status for All campaign that's happening with the rally on Saturday across Canada and here in Vancouver at Robson Square on the Robson side of the Art Gallery. There's going to be a march that's going to go on because there are many Palestinians here that are being deported. A lot of them don't have status, and there's no way to be deported, and there's a lot of deportation going on. Many who are trying to go to Palestine because, you know, they have the right to, they should have a right to return, and they can't. A lot of catch-22 situations, but the issue of status is a global issue, not just here in Canada. And as you know, that the immigrants and refugees have been calling for their rights south of the border and marching and demanding their rights, as they have in Europe. Canada's having its day of action on Saturday, the 27th, 2 o'clock at Robson Square, Robson side of the Art Gallery. There'll be a lot of people there